my heart and my mind keeps going back to Lazarus. Somebody touched on Lazarus recently, and I'm just going to touch on it for just a little bit this morning, because when Lazarus came up out of the tomb, he didn't come up 100%, you know, clean, holy, pure, looking like, you know, he just stepped out of what they used to call a bandbox when I was young. My mother-in-law used to get frustrated with me when we took a trip just before we stopped, because it was 21 hours from where we lived back home to Illinois, where they were from. If we stopped for gas, I told them, I said, if y'all are going to stop for gas, wake me up just a few minutes before we take the exit. The first few times they did, she got all frustrated with me, because I'd wake up and I'd comb my hair and I'd get my mirror out and I'd look, and I have very pale lips. People think I am ill if they see me without lipstick. So whether I have any other makeup on at all or not, I generally will put on lipstick. And Richie laughs, because as soon as we get in the car, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, oh gosh, I forgot. Because when I get somewhere, people are like, do you feel okay today? And I'm like, I'm fine. Just got pale lips. So I'll bite my lips. And then, why are you biting your lip? And it's like, oh, I can't please people. Come on. Can't please people. And I don't do it to please people. But you know what? When I look better, I feel better, I act better. Okay? So what I do because it's what God put inside of me that makes me me. And I don't expect anybody else to do like me. My grandmother only wore white dresses once she got saved. Other people came along, they started wearing white dresses because they wanted to be like her, because they got saved under her ministry. And she had noticed after about the third time she saw them and they were in a white dress, she's like, I want to know, why are you wearing that white dress? Well, Sister Stutes, I want to be like you. And she says, that's great. That's great. You be like me as long as I'm being like Jesus. But this white dress, Jesus told me to wear. If Jesus didn't tell you to wear that white dress, go get you a pink one or a purple one or a blue one. Or come on, you go be you. Because I'm already taken. Come on. I'm already me. RJ, I can't be RJ because you're already RJ. You just be you. I had to fight, you know, come on. I'm about as short as a woman can be in this house, and he's about as tall as a man can be in this house. Come on. I can't be him and he can't be me, and I don't want to try. Come on. You be the best you that God created you to be. When Lazarus came up out of that tomb, Word of God, and I guess we'll just go there real quick. John chapter 11. And we know the story. The disciples came with Jesus, and someone was sent to them to tell him that Lazarus was sick. Please come, because he's sick, sick unto death. They knew that Lazarus was dying. He was very ill. That's the phone call you get when somebody's being rushed to the hospital and they're being put in ICU. Come quick, come pray. We need God to intervene. And why God intervenes sometimes and doesn't other times, and why God blesses and he touches and he changes things immediately for some and not always for others, I can't tell you that. I don't have that answer. But I can tell you this, that whether we live or whether we die, if we honor God in the midst of it, and we've taught those around us to honor God in the midst of it, he's going to bring good up out of whatever's going on. He's going to turn it for our good. Good morning. Such a pretty face. Good morning. God's going to take it and he's going to make some good come out of it. Well, Jesus didn't go right away. He hesitated a few days. In that waiting, they kept, I'm sure they kept checking the window and the door. Have you ever been waiting on somebody to arrive? And every time the door opened, you look to see if it was them. Or you hear a noise, or my house, the dog bark, you go look. You want to know, because you're expecting, you have an anticipation. There is an expectancy in you. I still, Sister Grace, I've got a 20-year-old grandson. And now he's got a motorcycle, so he doesn't answer the phone, and I don't call him like I did when he had a car, because, come on, Bluetooth, anybody can answer a phone, it's no big deal. Motorcycle, that's a whole nother story. And so, still, this grandma can pray and say, Lord, I need him to either call me or come home, because I need this or that. And when I do, Brother RJ, it's not 10 minutes, and that young man's either calling me, texting me, or driving up in the driveway. Come on. Because God's still able. I don't need cell phone. I don't need Verizon or Spectrum has wireless phones now, too. I don't need any of that. All I need is God, because God can make it happen. Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus because they all loved Jesus. Jesus spent time in their house. He was with them a lot, and they had sent for him because their brother was sick. And if we'll go on down in verse 17, it says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already, and that's in the King James. So I'm going to read it in the Amplified and make it a little bit more modern language without going too far. Verse 18, Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and a considerable number of the Jews had gone out to see Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. And when Martha heard Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary remained sitting in the house. Now, Martha was expecting Jesus to do something, so as soon as she found out he was coming down the road, she ran out to meet him. She had some things she wanted to tell him. She had some things she wanted to ask him. And she wasn't going to wait till he got where the crowd was. She's going to go to him personally, and she, come on. There's some things that we've been asking God. God, can you please just take that hurt, take that anger, take that bitterness away from me? So many families that I've walked through death with, and as a loved one passed away, they want to say all these wonderful, glorious, good things about the loved one, and it's wonderful to honor them. But then in the back room by themselves with me sometimes, they talk about how angry mom or dad always was and how many times mom or dad tried to commit suicide and they had to take care of them, or how many times they had to be called to come back to prevent dad from beating up mom or mom from beating up dad. And come on, there's some hurt in some people and we don't even know it. There's a lot of what you call dead men walking because we're carrying around some grave clothes. When Lazarus came up and Jesus called him up, come on, he came up out of that tomb, but he didn't come up, ooh, yeah, I'm alive. Back then, they wrapped him like a mummy, and they put a napkin over their face. So everything was wrapped with a napkin over their face, and then that wrapped too. And so when Jesus stood there, and if you're sensitive to noise, I'm sorry. But Jesus stood there, and we're going to pretend that door is the grave. They had rolled the stone away, and Jesus stood there, and if he'd have just said, rise or come alive, every dead person in the cemetery would have come up. So he was specific. And he looked at that grave, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He called him by name. There was a day when Jesus called you by name. And maybe today's your day. But he called you by name because he wanted to pull you up out of where you were. The whole rest of the world, the whole rest of the community said, you're dead. You ain't never going to come alive again. You ain't never going to live again. You're dead. But Jesus came on the scene and he said, hold up. There's some things that are going to change. Martha went running to meet him. Martha wanted to know. She says, Martha said unto Jesus, verse 20, as soon as she heard that he was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary still sat in the house. Verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Master, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, he will grant it to you. She's like, if you would have just come when we first sent for you, none of this would have happened. Why God delays, I can't tell you. I cannot tell you, but I can tell you in this instance, because he delayed, look at the greater miracle that came out of the delay. And Mary was upset. But when they went to the tomb and Jesus called, and they even said, "He stinks." Well, when Lazarus came up out of that grave, I honestly believe. Come on, because he was wrapped. He was wrapped tight. And generally they were dug down, and so there were steps. And he's got his face covered, and he's coming. And if they wrapped like we wrap, probably wasn't so great. And so as he wrapped, some of that stuff was falling off. But Brother Todd, it didn't all come off. And the reason I know that was because, if we'll go on down to verse 44. It says, "And out walked the man who had been dead, his hands and feet wrapped in burial cloths or linen strips." He was mummified. "And with a burial napkin bound around his face." And Jesus said to them, Jesus said to who? To them. To the ones standing around wondering, what's Jesus going to do? He's already dead. What's Jesus going to do about this? "And when Lazarus came out, Jesus looked at them and he said, 'Take off the grave clothes.'" He looked at them and he told them, "Loose him and let him go. Free him of the burial wrappings and let him go." We come to the Lord and we get saved. And he washes us and he makes us clean. But there's some things that hang on to our hearts. There's some things that are still in our memory that you let something come along and we have a fight. We have a wrestling. Come on. And I think the saddest thing in the Christian world is that when someone is wrestling with some of that past, that the Christian world says they were never saved to begin with. Yeah, they were. Yes, they are. They just need to get rid of some of that dead stuff. There's some of it still hanging on. Some of it's like duct tape. It hurts when you go to pull it off. Some people come along and instead of rubbing a little alcohol up underneath there to loosen that glue, they're just going to grab it and shoo. Well, that's how they did it to me. Well, bless Pat. You know it hurt. Don't do it. Come on. I got hurt a lot when I was young. I got lots of Band-Aids. Band-Aids had more stick to them back then than they do now. And I had hair on my legs like Richie has on his legs and his arms. And that Band-Aid actually could stick through that hair onto the skin that was underneath. And when you pulled the Band-Aid off, it pulled the hair off. So I had little bald spots here and there. When it came time to take that Band-Aid off, I wanted to soak in the bathtub. Let me go take a bath. I'll take it off. So I'd soak in that tub and I'd wash it a little bit, wash it a little bit, wash it a little bit. Come on. Because I knew it was going to hurt. Sometimes when God sends someone to you to remove the grave clothes, they don't have time for all that. Because there's somebody else that's needing, or because they have something else pressing. And unfortunately, sometimes the rip just has to happen. We live in a society that says, "Oh, if it hurts your feelings, it must be wrong." I'm so sorry to wake you up today and tell you they are lying. Because some of what has hurt my feelings the deepest, Chris, has been some of what has built me strongest. It hurt so deeply because that thing was so deep rooted. I'm rejoicing this morning because I have a brother who has always picked on me and told me that we were adopted. Our parents had dark hair, dark eyes. The two older brother and sister had dark hair, dark eyes. Jerry and I had blonde hair, blue eyes. Not to mention that my grandmother and grandfather on my mother's side both had blonde hair and blue eyes. But, you know, we didn't want to talk about that. He just wanted to convince me that I was adopted. And that I had to do everything he said because he had to do everything that they said. And they'd already sent him back to the orphanage once. And it was a terrible place. And if I messed up, we were both going back. And he was going to beat me up. And he beat me up on the regular because he just could. Come on. The older ones had beat him up, so he handed it on down. I don't hate him. I love him dearly. I found out a couple of weeks ago he was going to have surgery because he had been diagnosed with a basal cell on side of his nose. That's what I had on side of mine. He didn't care to talk to me too much because every time he thought about me, he thought about what I was left with. And I kept telling him, y'all caught it earlier, it's going to be better. You caught it earlier because you know what I went through, it's going to be better, it's not going to be so bad. When he went in, it was worse than he thought it was going to be, and I didn't know exactly details, and so my heart's praying and crying out to God, God, don't let it be so severe. God, don't let him endure what I endured. Oh, come on. For everything he put me through, Brother RJ, even my hand right now, these three fingers are tingling because one too many times I was holding on to something. Did y'all ever do that to somebody? They holding on real tight, so you press right there on that nerve until finally the nerve gives way and you can get what they got. I was one stubborn little girl. He had to force it open far too many times, and I endure some things because of it. And when I do, I'm like, Lord, I thank you for the rough stuff I went through because it sure made me tough. People who have never gone through anything can't get through anything. They cut him right here and then right into here. And he's kind of swollen because of the surgery he had. But ain't nothing like I had. He didn't get the axe down the center of the... wasn't an axe, but they cut a big portion. This part of my nose used to be forehead. Come on. And they had to cut deep. And you know why they had to cut so deep, Sister Violet? Because there was cancer there. And they had to biopsy it and make sure they got it where there was no more cancer cells. And then they went one more layer deeper than that. Because they were going to be sure there was never going to be any more cancer come back. And that was 1995. And in 2019, I can say I have been totally cancer-free all these years. It hurt. It was uncomfortable. About the time I started looking better, I would go back for another surgery. And it would hurt all over again. And it would look crazy all over again. And I had several talks with God, kind of like Martha. Okay, Jesus, I knew you could do it. I trusted. When they put me under, when they gave me the drip in my arm and told me, whatever you got to say, you better say it because we fixing to put you to sleep. All I could say was, y'all go have breakfast. I'm going to take a nap. They're going to see a miracle and I'll see y'all in a few minutes. That was what I believed going in. I came out 13 hours later. Looking like my head had gone through a windshield. And if you're interested, I actually have pictures. They asked me if they could take pictures. I gave them permission. Towards the end of it, I said, now I want copies of those pictures. They're like, why would you want that? I said, because it's a testimony of God's grace. Some people are never going to believe you've been through what you've been through unless you can show them some proof. I want you to know something. God knows exactly what each one of you has been through. Even the stuff that was so traumatic that you blocked out of your mind that the devil tries to bring it back to haunt you with again. There's somebody in your life that pushes your buttons and they frustrate you to no end. Take a step back and say, now wait a minute, God, what are you trying to expose in me? And what is it that I can do to help them? What is it that I can change about me, because I want to be able to better help them out there know you in your fullness. Because each layer that God goes through when he's removing the pain and the depth and the bitter and the... Come on. Cancer is when our body is attacking itself. I know none of you have ever attended a pity party, so I'm going to turn around and talk to the wall. Okay? But see, when the devil comes at you to deliver you a pity party, to say, oh, woe is me, and it's such a shame, and I've endured so much, and it's so horrible, and I don't know that I'll ever be able to be anything better, and it's just the way my life is, and it's never going to change. And while I know that God can do some things with me in my limitations, I'm just going to let my limitations paralyze me. And we listen to all that garbage that he's throwing at us, and then all of a sudden all we can do is cry, and we don't want to be around anybody, and the only two people at a pity party is the devil and you. And as long as you entertain him, he will stay. Quit giving him something to eat and drink. Quit entertaining him. Quit listening to him. I've said it before, I think, here, and I'll say it again. My youngest son used to come in all the time from playing, Mom, everybody's being mean to me. What are they doing? They're calling me names. They're throwing things at me. And I said, well, who's everybody? PJ. I'm like, and? PJ. I said, but you said everybody. Who else is doing it? PJ. I'm like, well, let me tell you something. He's not everybody. He's your brother. He's your big brother, and I know you look up to him, but he's not everybody. He's the one you think should love you the most. He's the one that you think should be taken up for you, but he's not everybody. And let me tell you something else. No matter how much they love you, they're not Jesus. And ain't nobody going to love you unconditionally except Jesus. Everybody else has conditions. Sometimes it's because of what they've gone through. Sometimes it's what they're going through. Sometimes it's who they are. Sometimes it's what they've been told about you. Sometimes it's what they think about you. And sometimes it's just the devil threw some kind of funk in the ointment and got it all stinking up. And he doesn't want you to be happy, and he doesn't want you to go forward. Understand this. The devil's going to lie. Understand this. Jesus is truth. You have a choice. You can believe the lie, or you can believe truth. And unfortunately, outside those doors, this whole world has gone slap crazy. They believe that to obey the law is wrong. To enforce the law is wrong. To have a law is wrong, unless that law applies to them. And if that law applies to them, then the whole rest of the world should better hurry up and listen and do. That's not reality. Reality is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And no, they may not do it today, and they may not do it tomorrow, but eventually the good will come back to you. There are grave clothes that we're trying to get through life. Or maybe we're right-handed, and they got all the stuff off our legs, but our arm's still tied. And we just can't do all of what God wanted us to do because we still haven't let it come loose. And somebody came along, and they tried to take it off. But we're like, don't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are? I might just be somebody who went through what you're going through. And I might be able to help you get through it easier than I did. My battle cry since 1995 has been, wear sunscreen. You don't want to get a sunburn. You get a sunburn that's bad enough to blister and peel. Ultimately, one day it could turn into a skin cancer. While basal cell is the best one you can have because it's a single cell and it doesn't return, it's what I had. It likes to be like a crab. Anybody know how a crab walks? Crab does not walk this way. A crab goes this way, or a crab goes this way. And whichever way it decides to go, its feelers will reach way out like roots of a tree. So pay attention. Pay attention. Sin is a cancer. If you start watching programs that are promoting sinful activity, my boys were young. There was a show, Bad Boys, Bad Boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Everybody knows the little song leading in. My boys wanted to watch that because my boys wanted to grow up and be police officers, and my boys thought that it would be fun to watch that, and I didn't allow it in my house, Brother Robert, and you know why? Because if I was going to entertain my mind with that, then it was going to be the thing that I thought was good to do when I didn't have anything else to do. Oh, come on. And that's old school. We've got NCIS, we've got CSI, we've got Murder, She Wrote, we've got How to Commit a Murder, we've got, 13 Ways or 13 Reasons. What is that crazy one that's promoting suicide or whatever on Netflix now? And come on, there's so many different things that people are entertaining their minds with. If you're entertaining your mind with garbage, you ain't never going to get rid of the grave clothes, because every time somebody takes something off, or you take something off, or Jesus takes it off, you're putting something else back on, and putting something else back on, and putting something back in. You know why we got to empty the garbage can every time there's a service? Because somebody puts garbage in there every service, and it's okay because it's a garbage can. But you're not. You're not a garbage can. We're going to take off some grave clothes this morning. And we're going to say, you know what, Lord? I trust you. I don't know all of the reasons why I endured what I endured, but I know this. I'm still standing here, and I'm stronger because I survived it. Did you know that scar tissue is stronger than regular tissue? A lot of times it's more sensitive, but it's harder to penetrate. When the healing has come, a scar remains. And the scar only remains to say, look what you've been through. Look what God, come on. It's a testimony of God's grace. What should have killed you didn't. What should have stopped you didn't. And maybe it was painful, yes, but can I tell you something? In the most painful surgeries that I had, one they took something out of the back of my ear, another one they took a ridge off the top of my ear, and because people loved me so much, they smoked around me anyway, and I lost skin grafts, and so now I'm, you know, and most of the time nobody knows that my nose is somewhat disfigured until I call attention to it, so I'm calling attention to it, okay? And when I cry, it doesn't have the same kind of little bump here that directs the water around my mouth. It just comes straight down, looks like snot. Feels like snot. And so I'm constantly, you know, and they say if you touch the end of your nose, it'll stop you from crying. Well, not since I had surgery. So it's okay. God gave me a tender heart. Sometimes I'm crying because you won't. I'll cry for you. Because what you went through hurt deeper than what anybody else will ever know it hurt. And sometimes what you went through, you didn't even ask for it. I've never smoked, but because of smokers, I lost a skin graft, had 5 surgeries I didn't have to have. If I rolled over, those were the most painful, because when I rolled in the middle of the night, woke me up instantly because I wasn't supposed to lay on it. But I roll. And when I'd wake up in the middle of the night, it was hurting so deeply. Sister Ray, you remember what God did to Adam to create Eve? He caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. Brother Jerry, he removed a rib and closed him up. And then Adam woke up. when I was going through those surgeries, I was like, anesthesia. They knock you out. They remove it. You wake up. Holy Ghost anesthesia is better than anything that man has created. And in the middle of the night, when everybody else was sleeping, and I had stuff to do the next day, and I needed rest, and my body wasn't letting me rest, and it was so painful that all I could do was cry. I'd cry out to the Lord and say, God, that anesthesia that you gave to Adam, I need it right now. I don't want to get addicted to pain medications like so many in my family have. So I don't want to take what they gave me, and now they won't even give it to you. My brother had all that done, got sent home with Tylenol. So I'm really praying for him. I'm like, God, I don't want to take that. I don't want to have to depend on that. I want to totally depend on you. And every time I prayed that prayer, God came down right that minute, like somebody giving me a shot, and no more pain. And I got through it, and I never did finish a bottle of pain medicine. 16 surgeries and never finished a whole bottle of pain medicine. Because God is good, and He's true to His Word. And if we ask Him, no, it doesn't always happen right away. And sometimes the pain was there a little bit longer. But I came to know God in a different way during that time of my life. Come on. There are some things that you've gone through that you try to anesthetize it because it's too painful to think about it. Anybody remember Richie having a splinter just a few weeks ago in the fleshy part of his hand? It was a big one, and it went deep. And I got out as much as I could get out with him going, ooh, 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 call Mom. And then finally, no. And I'm like, dude, it's going to get infected. No. So I went old school on him, and I put some drawing salve on a Band-Aid, and I stuck that thing on his hand. Come on, God. He rips the Band-Aid off, and I'm like, well, I don't know what to do for you. And about 3 days later, when that thing got all infected, all pussy and oozy, and he comes to me, and he's going, God. I'm like, yeah, it hurts. It's all swollen up. I just took my fingernail and I raked across the bottom, pushed that thing out, and he's been fine ever since. And he went, oh. I'm like, yeah, if you'd let me do that several days ago, we wouldn't be where we are right now. God's looking at some of y'all this morning, and I ain't going to look at you, but God's looking at you, and he's going, if you'd let me do that 10 years ago, you wouldn't still be hurting. Come on. David got so disturbed because of the sin that he had committed with Bathsheba that he began to cry out to the Lord. And this was long after he had committed the sin. Psalm 51, and I'm going to read it from the Passion. He says, God, give me mercy from your fountain of forgiveness. I know your abundant love is enough to wash away my guilt. God, we're guilty of holding on to things that you told us to let go of. Help us to release our grip today. Lord, we're guilty of holding on to the pain or the frustration or the memory. Lord, help us release it to you today. He says, because your compassion is so great, take away the shameful guilt of sin, forgive the full extent of my rebellious ways, and erase this deep stain on my conscience. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we've come up with so many ways to remove the blood, and you never intended for us to, because you wanted us to know that the blood was enough, that it would cover and it would be impenetrable. Lord, let the blood of Jesus cover the stain of sin. Wash it in the blood of Jesus and make it white as snow. Cleanse it and purify it, Lord. Remove the guilt. Remove the shame of the guilt. And Lord, forgive us of our rebelliousness. He went on to say, "For I'm so ashamed, I feel such pain and anguish within me. I can't get away from the sting of my sin against you, Lord. Everything I did right in front of you, for you saw it all against you, and you above all have I sinned." The one thing my dad told me when I was young that I have carried with me all of my life that has protected me and has been my go-to in Jude, where he says, "And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling." Jude's a short chapter. I think it's along about verse 24. He's able to keep us from falling. And the way that he keeps us from falling is reminding us that he sees everything that we do. There's a camera on every business. There's a camera on every street corner. There's a camera on a lot of people's houses. There's nothing that we do that is not unseen. There are cameras from space that when they're doing Google Maps, if you happen to be outside in your yard and your BVD's picking up the newspaper, guess what? If that camera snaps when somebody pulls up your address, they're going to see you outside in your BVD's. So please don't be doing that. Come on. Come on. There's nothing that we do that doesn't go seen. Everything that we do is seen by someone somewhere. And if Richie sees it, trust me, he's going to tell it and tell it and tell it till he sees something else. So if you need an accountability partner to help you line up with God's word, I will rent him to you. I will pay you $50 to take him for a day. Can't beat that deal. He will line you up. He will line you up quick, and he will line you up fast. And if you say something that you shouldn't say, my sister, a lot of times, she'll use that word S-T-U-P-I-D. And he goes, "Oh, solo shame." Because in our house, we try not to use that when it pertains to a person. You might do a stupid thing, but there are no stupid people. There are people who choose to not do right. Come on. And if you're doing a stupid thing, everybody has a right to do something stupid every now and again. Do not get stuck there. I will come yank you off. You get stuck on stupid, and that's when life takes a fast downhill trot. Verse 6, I think it is. No, verse 5. Oh, back up in 4. I didn't read all of verse 4. He said, "Against you and you above all have I sinned. Everything you say to me is infallibly true, and your judgment conquers me. Lord, I have been a sinner from birth, from the moment my mother conceived me. I know that you delight to set your truth deep in my spirit." So here it is. "Come into the hidden places of my heart and teach me wisdom." I want everybody to close your eyes right now, because this is between you and God. It's not between you and me or you and anybody else. Just you and God and Jesus. Invite Jesus into those hidden places. You know, those things that you've never told anybody else. Those hidden places. Those things that you would never let cross your lips. Because you love and you cherish the relationship with someone, or you have respect for someone, or you respect yourself enough that you're just not going to give voice to it. But God knows, and the devil knows, and the devil tries to use it against you. He will just twist and tighten. Lord, even those secret things in the secret parts of our heart that we've not told anybody about, we don't even want to go back and visit it. Lord, even as I was talking to one brother and saying how thankful I am that this youngest brother didn't have to endure what I endured, and it was too much for him to even think about or consider, because he doesn't like to think about the pain. Father, bring healing to those areas of his life that make him not want to think about the pain. Because, Father, if we forget the pain, we're going to go back and do what we did. And we don't ever want to go back and do what we did. Lord, if we ever forget what it cost you to cover our sin, we'll sin willfully, and we don't ever want to do that again. So don't let us forget the price you paid. Give us wisdom to heed your voice. Give us wisdom to allow truth to come in and set us free. Give us wisdom to let those that you have sent into our lives to help us. Give us the wisdom to let them help us. Give us the courage to bear ourselves to you. And Lord, help us to speak it openly to you. As we speak it openly to you, remove it from us. Lord, we don't have to tell the world. We don't have to make our story known until you tell us to. But Lord, those things that have been holding us bound because they were secrets, and secrets have power, Lord, it's no longer a secret because we already know that you know. We're letting you in that secret room, Lord God. Lord Jesus, just walk in that secret room and paint it red with the blood of Jesus and cleanse it and purify it and remove all of the shame, all of the guilt, all of all the pain. Crema hasha barios sundere bekotinene.